Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I've been having a very interesting time with the Lord the last few days. Very simple but profound, and let's share a little bit of that in a moment. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Now there are two in those verses we could go on, because the rest of the psalm is pretty good too. But there's two descriptions of God's love in those verses. One is that his love endures forever. It's an enduring love. And then we see in verse 8 that it's an unfailing love. Jesus says we're to abide in his love. We're to abide in that enduring, unfailing love. And David says, let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his enduring love. And we know that there can be a whole lot of sort of untrue things said about God's love, but that doesn't stop us from abiding in the true revelation of his love. Now, there's one truth that, to understand what that means, we have to take hold of, and that is that by definition, God cannot do anything imperfect. Because he would not be God if he did anything imperfect, because the imperfect would be sin, and there is no sin in God. There is no darkness in him. Therefore, his love for you is perfect. That enduring, unfailing love is perfect. His mercy towards you is perfect. His and perfection, remember, in Scripture means complete, whole, entire. So his forgiveness is perfect. It's complete. It's whole. It's entire. It can't be partial. It can't be imperfect. There's no caveats to it. When he forgives, it's his perfect love, his perfect mercy, his perfect forgiveness. His grace is perfect. His provision is perfect. His healing is perfect. Everything he does is perfect. What God wants of us is to take hold of his perfection. that the more we express faith and love towards him, the more of that completeness can be received and then expressed in our lives. This is why Paul says in Philippians towards the end of his life that he doesn't claim to have laid hold of everything, but forgetting what lies behind, he's pressing on for what lies ahead, and he wants to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus took hold of him, which is perfection. That God chose and called you for perfection. And when we see him as he is, we shall be like him. We shall be perfect. Now, Hebrews says that he's made us perfect already in his sight because he can see the end from the beginning. So you are destined for perfection. And when we look at ourselves and our circumstances, we can often feel that we're some way short of that perfection at present. But that should be a lesson for us to keep our eyes on the Lord and not ourselves. When I was praying the other day, I just felt the Spirit telling me to look at My Dear Child, the book that I wrote. Actually, I was surprised to see it was 21 years ago. Hodders are just about to bring out a new edition of it, with a new cover and everything. There are not many Christian books that stay in print for over 20 years. And this book has had a remarkable effect. I was say that I didn't write it. It was the Lord that did that. It had a profound effect upon me because what he caused me to do is to draw aside for 3 weeks and pray. And God would give me each of these messages and actually, my secretary then was very, very good at shorthand typing, and I would just speak out these things and when I had them, and she would write them down, and she would go off and type out that, and I would pray for the next one. This went on for the best part of 3 weeks. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. I sense God sort of called me back to do something similar, but in a different context. And I don't think there's been a book of mine that's where I've received so much. I mean, many of them have given birth to a lot of correspondence, you know, people writing and saying thank you and all the rest of it. But this one is something very, very special. And it's so simple, but it really is spoken from the heart of God to the hearts of his people. I'm going to read two or three sections in a moment. My favorite of all of them, I will show you. This is my favorite one. My sin record. And then my next best one is that one, your sin record. And it says in small print, once your sins are forgiven. Now that's the perfection of God's forgiveness. And actually, the record isn't on paper. I mean, you could actually write something in here, but in heaven, your sin record is on plastic. so you can't write on it. I mean, if the devil or anybody accuses you and wants to remind you of past sin, they can't write it. We just won't write down, because the sin record is complete. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So even though you can remember that you sinned, God has no record. God has erased it from the books that are in heaven. And of course, this is one of the reasons why he wants us to be so merciful, and why it is so important for us to forgive others, otherwise God will not forgive us. The amazing thing to me, in the parable of the unmerciful servant, you see, that servant had this enormous debt. It was like the Lord cancelling the debt completely. But when he refused to forgive his fellow servant, all that debt was restored. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, well, that's your sin record unless you don't forgive someone. In which case, suddenly it all appears again. Until you are ready to forgive. I might be stretching a little bit, but I mean, that's, you know, Jesus, what Jesus says, this is how my Father in heaven will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So, praise God that his forgiveness is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. That his mercy, the mercy that is new every morning, is that perfect mercy, that loving kindness that endures forever. But I want to read just two or three other sections. Though I'm sure most of you must have read the book at some time, and you know it's just short sections that people can use every day. There are many ways in which I have needed to come deeply into your life to liberate you from fear of displeasing me. This is fear of yourself, really. You have been very afraid of yourself, haven't you, child? Can you see the work I am doing in you now to liberate you from that fear? How can you enjoy being you if you're afraid of yourself? Precious child, thank you for letting me love you. Thank you for letting me come deep into those secret places. You don't understand all that I'm doing in you. That doesn't matter. It's enough to know I understand you, that I heal you and make you whole. Your days of hiding from me are over, aren't they? You don't need to do that anymore, do you? Oh, my dear, dear child. There have been many times when I have longed to give to you, but you have kept yourself out of my reach. How it pleases me that you no longer do that. Not only do you allow me to touch your life with my love, but you really want me to. This is a sign of great change in you. You are beginning to trust my love, aren't you, child? You are beginning to see that there is no need to fear. I always have your best interests at heart, and every touch of my spirit of love is making you more holy. I love you, child. There is a sweetness about my peace, isn't there? Have you noticed that you are now able to cope with situations which previously would have caused turmoil within you? This is because you're beginning to see things my way. You have begun to listen to my voice rather than the enemy. In a very gentle way, I have moved in your heart so that you yield more fully to me than before. That's good. You can encourage others to open themselves to me, to come deeply into the arms of my love, to receive from me. Whenever we approach the Lord, we're approaching love. Not just the answer to our need, but the one who loves us. The one who wants to be gracious to us. My dear child, I am the Lord who gives and gives and gives. So you are the child who has to receive and receive and receive. I never come to the end of my giving. Even when you think I could give you no more, I shower further blessings on you. You judge yourself more harshly than I judge you. According to your assessment, you deserve nothing. That would be true except for my grace. You know there are few who really understand my grace. Many preach and talk about it. They concentrate on the fact that people are not worthy to receive from me. But I concentrate on the fact that I am always willing to give. That seems much more helpful. I know my favor is unmerited, but the emphasis needs to be on my favor. I love to give, child. I'm never slow to give when the circumstances are right. Isn't that what I promised through Jesus? He says, everyone who asks receives. This is true. Have you noticed that often you have not received because you have been reluctant to ask? When you ask and receive, you wish you had asked for much more and received much earlier. Sweet child, you are learning. That is the important thing. There's a profound truth there that we talk about grace in terms of we don't deserve, but grace is about the giving. Now, if we just get absorbed with the fact that we don't deserve, then we're actually undermining our faith. Instead of really focusing on the generosity of God. I could go on reading because there's a whole section here about love and giving love to others. I just have one more section. Miracles happen wherever my children go in my name. I love to go among the addicts where there is misery, violence, and abuse. I go in those who pour out their lives for them without holding back because of the cost of such ministry. How I desire that more of my children would make themselves available to reach those who are in the depths of misery and futility. I love to go among the social outcasts, the unwanted and unloved. I love to show them that someone genuinely cares. But I need bodies through whom to work, serve, and show the affection that is so needed. I go in the gifts of those who give freely of their substance because they cannot go in person. I love to go in my children who will show them the way of salvation. I love to go to all these places with my gospel, not just with natural physical help. What has been accomplished if the body is fed, but the spirit is left naked? If physical needs are satisfied, but sins remain unforgiven? So I go in those who show my love and concern for spirit, soul, and body. When I go in them, all my resources are available to them through the power of my Holy Spirit. I love to work miracles of healing among the destitute, who look to me as their only doctor or dentist, those for whom I am the only surgeon available. I love to send people of faith who will look to me for their provision in every situation. I send a people of love who will not mind the cost of declaring my truth, those who will proclaim my word in the face of abuse. They offer my love, although they know it may be rejected. Great will be their reward in heaven. I love to go in those who risk danger to take my gospel to others. I love to go among the oppressed. I love to go into prisons. Wherever there are captives, I want to set them free by the power of my Spirit. I love to go where people recognize their need of me. They want my love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Such hearts are fertile soil to receive the seed of my word. I love to go in you, my child. Oh, you cannot meet all this need. Your heart goes out to such people because you share something of my heart. I have seen the desires within you to reach the poor, the lost, the naked, and the blind. I rejoice in your genuine compassion. I delight when I hear you say, "Oh Lord, I am ready to go if you will send me." I love to see my children available to me like that. But I can't send you everywhere, child. I have chosen a particular ministry for you. I direct the footsteps of all who yield their lives to me. I use you in the most effective way I can, so that many will be touched by my love. My wisdom exceeds yours in this. We form a body, an expression of the body of Christ. The important thing is that the body goes in all those ways. But that actually everybody in the body sees that even when a brother or a sister goes, they go with them. In prayer, in support, perhaps even in financial support, that they don't go alone, but they go as part of the body. It's not their own individualistic, personal ministry. It's not their little kingdom that they're creating for themselves, but something they do in the name of the Lord on behalf of the whole body. And that's why it's important for people to know and to understand all the ways in which the body is reaching out into the world, all the different ways in which we are going. But of course, that doesn't absolve anybody from going himself or herself. But in the particular ways in which God is sending us. There's a very profound truth in that last section that I read. You know, where the Lord says that he loves to see us ready to go if he sends us. That's the important thing, that when we're sent by God, we're fruitful and effective. When we just go out of our own motivation, then we don't achieve or accomplish very much. One of the, you know, I've had a whole series of secretaries over the years who have ended up as pastors, missionaries, getting in all kinds of ministry. If you go back over the list, it's quite amazing what some of them have done. And there's come that inevitable time, you know, when they've sort of come to me and said, I can't do this job any longer, I've got to go. God has filled me with so much, I've got to give it away. And, you know, I've seen that process build up within these folk. And I've had to say to them, you know, you may be in the office, you may be typing up the books or writing letters, but actually you're going already. What you're doing now is going. Because the body is going. And what you're doing is servicing the outreach and the going of the body. And it's all those people, you know, even those, I used to say, because we used to have a big sort of resource department where two or three people were working full time, and I'd say, you know, you're going, every time you put a tape, it was tapes in those days, tapes in an envelope, you're going. Pray for the one who's going to receive the tape. every time you write a letter, something of the kingdom is being extended. Just to see everything that we're doing as part of God's kingdom purpose. That it isn't that some are out there doing this stuff and we're just the support group. No, we're all going all the time. And yes, there does come the time when God so often sends us. But I've watched many of them have been young women that have worked, obviously, as secretaries. But I sort of watched what God has done in them in building up this process of getting them ready and equipped for the ministry that he's going to give them. I mean, the secretary that did this dictation was a missionary in Africa, doing the most bold things. I mean, a young white woman going into the remote parts of black Africa alone to villages that had never heard the gospel takes a little bit of nerve. She's the one that would swim in rivers where there were crocodiles, knowing that she was under the Lord's protection, that no crocodile could come near her. That takes a little bit of faith. Because one of the other girls went out to visit her once, and she said, come on, let's go swimming. And so they both got into the water, and this girl was Anthea, and she stopped and she turned to this visitor, and she said, you're afraid, aren't you? And she said, yes, I am. She said, well, please get out the water. The fear will attract the crocodiles. But because of her faith, I'm not suggesting that you should try this, but that's just the kind of faith that God had put into that young lady. Well, she was young then. And you know, you see this, you see the way that God builds up people in faith and equips them. But he has to build them up in love too. Because it's not enough to go with faith. It has to be faith working through love. It's the love that makes you or be prepared to pay the cost. You need the faith, but the love is so necessary. But that love, you see, is a response to the revelation of love that God has for us. I could read some more sections, but I won't do that now. I'll just talk to you. The thing about God's love that we have to get straight is he doesn't love you because of what you do. He loved you before you did anything. He called you in love. His love does not depend upon your performance. Your love for him does, but not his love for you. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. But that does not, obedience to his commands does not determine his love for us. He loves because he is perfect in the way in which he loves. And that means that his love for us is not dependent upon our performance. Even when we get things wrong, in his love, God's concern is to restore us. God's love is to bring us right back. God's love is to cancel out the record of sin, to keep the sheet clean. That's, if you like, the momentum of his love all the time. That perfect love means that he always wants the best. What he doesn't want is for us to get stuck in some nice comfortable ministry that has ceased to be a challenge. He lets us be in such positions while he's working within us. And then he takes away the comfort zone. And he says, right now go where I go. Go where I send you. That's why, over the course of the years, so many people have passed through the team here. Yes, we need a certain stability so that you have some people that have been here for several years. But many others pass through, which is healthy, because they go on to where God wants to send them. You see, I said to leaders, send your best people to the training college, but don't expect ever to see them again. Because what God is doing is training them to send them. Okay, some will go back to their churches and will be used there, but many of them, you know, God has got another plan, another purpose. Many of you came into Kingdom Faith through the Bible College, and whether they knew it or not, their church was sending you. But this isn't the end of your life. Where is God equipping you to send you? We're not trying to get rid of more this morning, so there's even less of us. Because the sending isn't necessarily sending us away, but it's always sending us out. But it's being prepared to go away. You know, the next few weeks, I'm away nearly every weekend ministering all over the place, all over Europe. And from a personal standpoint, I've had enough of traveling. I would willingly not have to get on a plane again to go anywhere. But if God is sending me, I go with joy. If he still wants to do that, then I'm still willing and even rejoicing to do it. Because I know, you know, when you get there and the anointing's there and you get in the flow of the Spirit, it'll all be wonderful and God will do wonderful things. The important thing is that whatever we're doing pleases him. That it's the outworking of his plan and purpose. And of course, if you think for a moment of the Gospels and Jesus, relationship with the disciples, you could say that the first phase was come to me. The second phase was go into all the world. And that's what discipleship's about. Coming to Jesus, being built up in his love, being built up in faith, and going. The important thing that I believe God is saying to us now is to have that going mentality. That even actually if your feet aren't traveling anywhere else except around here, you're still going. You're going in your heart, you're going in prayer, you're going with those who are involved in whatever they're involved with, that you don't have your own insular little ministry here as part of the whole thing, but you're part of the going. And you are available to God for whatever. He never gives you a job description to see if you approve of it. He simply says, go. And just one other thing, as part of all this, many of you know that God's sort of personal call, really, I suppose, apostolic call, was when in the early part of the move of God in Luton, he said to me, your voice will be heard among the nations, and if you do not speak, my people will not hear. Now, I had no idea what that meant. To be quite honest with you, when he first said it, I didn't want to know what he meant. It seemed sort of so way out that I knew it was God because it wasn't anything that I would have wanted for myself. But he said to me recently, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that word is now not just for you. That word passes down to Clive, to this generation, to the whole of Kingdom Faith. Your voice must be heard among the nations. That means there's got to be a going. And I believe whatever God is going to do in this next season of time is going to prepare a lot of people to go. Some, yes, within the 25-mile radius, but some far and way beyond that. Now, it's not just where we go, you know, journey-wise, because you can go into all the world on the internet. There's so many ways in going into the whole world, but your voice must be heard. I believe God is saying the voice of Kingdom Faith, of what God is doing in and through Kingdom Faith, must be heard among the nations. But, you know, it's the second part of of that commission that the Lord gave me, that has always been the awesome bit. And if you do not speak, my people will not hear. And to me, that's always meant, and I've, of course I've seen the outworking of it during the last 30-odd years, that there's always going to be something distinctive, something prophetic, something that God is going to do here that is not just common to what he's doing everywhere. That Kingdom Faith has to be a breakthrough ministry. It has to be a prophetic ministry that leads the way, that opens up the way for other ministries to follow. And that has been the case over the years. But what I believe God is doing is saying that has to continue to be the case, because that call has become a corporate call, that the anointing that I gave you to see that fulfilled is now a corporate anointing. And that's always been the challenge. You wouldn't know how much I put in to preparing spiritually for the keynote every week, even knowing there would only be a handful of us this morning. I was up very early, very early, very early praying, because somehow, you know, there's always got to be the new, the word that's going to be on the cutting edge of what God is wanting to be doing. Even if it's a simple word like this word about love and the perfection of his love, and how we need to live in the revelation of that love if we're going to be effective in seeing the lives of a multitude of people impacted by that love. And you know, I praise God for the fruit that we're seeing now in different ways, but of course that's nothing compared with the fruit that there's going to be and that God wants to see, the harvest that is coming. We're just seeing the first gleanings really at present. But it's all, you see, this mercy that we've been focusing on last few weeks. Mercy is the outworking of his love. Grace is the outworking of his love. It's probably going to be more and more about grace. But it's going to focus on his desire to give, not on our unworthiness to receive. It's putting the focus where it needs to be, on the Lord, on the Lord, on the Lord. And I'm about to get involved in another writing project which you can pray about. Because you know I've just finished this, the 150 themes or subjects from the Old and New Testament, and the truth that will be out before Faith Camp, all being well. I was talking with Clive the other day and was saying how, you know, in the whole of this discipleship thing that is happening, what we really need is to have material that's available, which really gives a revelation of who God is and therefore of the nature of the gospel. And I've been thinking and praying over this since our conversation. And my first thought was, well, of those 150 subjects, about 100 of them are different descriptions of the nature and activity of God. The others are more focused on discipleship, the enemy, opposition, all that kind of thing. But about 100 of them really are focused on the different aspects of who God is and the way in which he is active in the lives of his people. And so I thought, yeah, right, okay, I could I could take those things and turn it into a book. And that would be a fairly comprehensive book that actually would describe the nature and the character and the activity of God. Quite a long book. And I thought, yeah, well, that would be very interesting. But somehow it didn't quite gel as being the way to go. And it was then, you see, that God really prompted. I don't even have a copy of My Dear Child. I've only got it in this omnibus edition because all these books get given away. better to have be used than sitting on a shelf. So I took it down and started reading it, not just the sections I've read this morning, but some others, and immediately God was impacting my life. And he said, now, what you need, see, this is a book where God is speaking about what is on his heart towards his children. He says, now what you need is a book that will reveal how I want to reveal myself to my children. So you need to do the same thing that you did in writing that. Draw aside, let me speak to you, through you, so that I will reveal myself to those who read it. In other words, they won't simply read a book about the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, and so on. But they will encounter him in his love, in his mercy, in his grace, in his faithfulness. So you can pray about that, because that's going to be a challenge. It's going to be great because, you know, I know what was involved in doing that. It was great. It was wonderful. But you have to be really, really focused and stay focused. That's okay. A lot of prayer. I could probably do with more. But the important thing, you see, is not the wonderful time that I'll have with the Lord, but the what's produced and what fruit that can bear in the lives of others. If it produces a book that's still in print 21 years later, a new edition 21 years later, then that's fruit. Because let me tell you, publishers do not keep reprinting and republishing new editions of books unless they're selling. Unless, in other words, God is using them. So in that way, we're going out into all the world. But in many other ways too. But I mentioned this prophetic word, you see, your voice will be heard among nations, if you don't speak, my people are not here. Because I think all of us really need to keep in focus how significant in the purposes of God this ministry is. It's not having overinflated ideas about ourselves, because understanding that significance is not a matter of pride, it's a matter of responsibility. And that's the thing that I've felt all these years. It's good to have be passing on the responsibility to others now. But you live with that responsibility. That whatever God calls you to do, you are responsible for fulfilling. And of being in the place with God where it can be fulfilled. And in these last few months, I've had encounters with God which have been among the richest in my whole ministry. And that's what I believe God has for all of us in the future. Greater encounters with God. Not that we can just say, oh, I had this wonderful thing, because I haven't even talked to you about things that have been happening, but that we have these encounters so that we can fulfill the destiny that God has for us. But just see the significance of what you're involved in. Not as a matter of pride, but that you might remain humble before God and have this sense of responsibility. Doesn't always seem like that, does it? When what you're concerned about is, what do I do today? What do I do about this situation? How do I meet this need? And yet, all that is part of this bigger thing. If you'd said to me, in the move of God in Luton, what the impact of that would be worldwide, I would have thought you were joking. Because all we were concerned about is today, doing what God wants today. We didn't have any vision of reaching the world, of boom, 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 but of just keeping in step with Jesus day by day. And that's what it is. I mean, we can have grand ideas and pray grand prayers, but unless we're doing what he says day by day, it doesn't matter how grand the prayers are, they'll never be fulfilled. You know, a 1,000-mile journey begins with taking the first step. And that's what we're doing day by day. We're walking with Jesus step by step. Let's all stand, shall we? Praise God. I want you just to thank the Lord for his love. Because that psalm that we read right at the beginning says, let the redeemed of the Lord thank him for his love that endures forever. You're the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord thank the Lord for his unfailing love. Paratakaria leto bukarasita. And just thank him that he holds you in that love continuously every day. And his word is, abide in my love, live in my love, continue in my love. Paratakaria zatu bakarasitari sataria leda bakarasitari sandama. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, thank you. In his love, he keeps no record of wrongs. Hallelujah. Thank him that your sin record, the sheet is clear, it's blank. You're completely forgiven. Hallelujah. There's no record of any of those things. Praise God. And thank him that he sends you to a world to take that message of his mercy, of his forgiveness, of his love, of his grace. Hallelujah. To a sin-sick world. Paratakaria zatu bakara sitri santam. Now, thank him for every way in which you are reaching out at present. Now, see that not just as what you're doing, but what is happening in the body. You see, it's your body that is reaching out. Hallelujah. So we just thank the Lord for every way in which the body is reaching out to touch the lives of people in the world, of going where Jesus wants to go. Where there's desperation, where there's despair, where there's hopelessness, where there's addiction, where there's bondage, Kuratapakaresatapa, where people are just living in darkness and deception and fear. Thank him that there's no fear in love. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just pray that as a body, we will be reaching out more and more, that we'll be more and more effective in our mission to the world, that we'll be more and more focused, hallelujah, on you and therefore on what you can do through us. Help us, Lord, that as we reach out in your name, we don't lose sight of you, but realize it has to be you sending us and you going with us and you working through us. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that whatever you're doing in us now, you're equipping us for what you want to do in the future.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah, that we might not all be doing the things we're doing now in the years to come, because you're just preparing us for future things, for other things, for other aspects of ministry. But Lord, all the time, we know it's not what we want to do, but you sending us, you growing us, you developing us, you working within us. Lord, we want that development to continue all the time. But we want to be growing all the time. Thank you, Lord, for the way we grew during the 40 days, but we don't want to be looking back to the 40 days. We want to go on growing. We want to go on developing. We want to go on moving, Lord. You moving in our hearts, you moving in our lives, you speaking new things to us, doing new things within us. Creating more and more opportunities for us, Lord. Paratapari eletu bakarasitari satuba. Using the opportunities we already have, reaching the people with the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Saratapakari eletu bakarasitari satuba karasitaba. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Now just thank him for the significance of what you're a part of. A ministry that will reach the world. Some years ago, God said, dare you believe that you could be a blessing to every nation in the world? Now, you know, I thought, how on earth can that happen at the time? Because this was before all the media stuff that exists now. But you see, through the internet, through the media, we can touch every nation in the world. Hallelujah. Dare we believe that we will, in a significant way, touch every nation in the world? Well, I believe that. I believe that. It's not just about what God is doing here. It's about fulfilling the call and the destiny that God has. That our voice will be heard among the nations. But that voice has got to be his voice, hasn't it?
Yes.
His voice through us will be heard among the nations. If we do not speak, the people will not hear. My people will not hear. We've got a voice to God's people all over the world.
Amen.
And Lord, we want you to continue to move in us. We want you to continue to move among us so we fulfill that destiny, we fulfill that call, that your people will hear what you are saying, not just to us, but what you are saying through us. And Lord, we know it can't be theory. It's got to be backed up with the reality of what you're doing. So we just give you glory, Lord, that you're not giving us a message, you're giving us life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And that life will be a message. Purataparia zato bakara sitri sataria lera bakara sita balandum. Basataria leto bakara sitri sararia leto bakara sitri sandum. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Tarabasotori sarataria leto bakara sitaba. Basataria leto bakara sitaba. We thank you, Lord, that it is all about the gospel and making the gospel known. But thank you that the gospel comes out of your love. Thank you that the mercy comes out of your love. Thank you that the grace comes out of your love. Thank you that the healing and the provision come out of your love. Thank you, Lord, for that all of your purposes come out of your love. They're all an expression of your love. They're an expression of who you are. And Lord, we just want that love to impact our lives so much more than we see even now. That we will love you, that we will love what we do in you, that we will love the people to whom you send us. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.